Okay, praise God. We're going to open in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your many blessings, Lord God. We know many people did not see today, Lord God, but we thank you that it was your grace and your favor to us that blessed us to see this day, Lord. Father, I pray that you would keep us, Lord, by your power. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord God, as we learn of your word. Again, we pray that this is not a word that just rolls off our back, but something that we take in and we digest and we make it a part of who we are, Lord God. Oh, Father, we are yours. We commit to you, Lord, right now. Lord, and our heart is to stand for you, Lord God. So help us, Lord God, as we understand and learn your word, Lord God. We just praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We're going to continue our lesson and lift up our hands. As I said, there's some handouts and extra handouts for today that's there. Also, I'd like to welcome some guests of mine from Atlanta. My mom is here from Atlanta. We were talking about her last week. Here's the lady I was talking about. And her friend Barbara. Barbara works with them in their nonprofit organization, Family Connection. So we are glad Barbara could make it to Colorado this year. So as we review, we're continuing our lesson, The Lifter Up of My Head. And I tell you, I don't know about you guys, but this lesson is just blessing me so much. It is really encouraging my heart so much because, as we know, we're surrounded by the hordes of hell. And at any time, he's always trying to pull us down and put us down and make us feel bad about things. But I am so grateful that God, in his word, he encourages us. Thank you, Rita. We have extra... Okay. We have extra copies of the prayer sheets, so if you need the prayer sheets, they're over there on the table, guys. Both the one for Pueblo County in particular, and then the seven mountains of the earth to be praying. So, again, we just appreciate the encouragement. Last week we talked about living this name, and boy, that's the hard part, isn't it? Living this name. We can talk about it, we can learn about it, but when it comes to living this name, and we used David as an example and some of the things that he went through and the different things that you see in people's lives, you know, in living this name. I told my mom I was talking about her because just when we talked about that scripture in Ezekiel that talked about how we are watered from the underneath. Ezekiel 31:34 talks about a water that flows from underneath. And sometimes when God is lifting your head and you are rising out of a bad situation, people don't even know how you're doing it. They think you should have lost your mind. You should have done this. You should have done that. But instead, you are serving and praising God, and they don't know how you do it. It's because, as the scripture says in Ezekiel, he waters us from underneath. And he lifts our head. And we talked about when God lifts your head is really lifted. When God lifts your head, it's not a quick fix or anything like that. So today we're going to talk about the segment on praying this name. And I printed up that extra handout from Psalm 51 because I think it really encapsulates this whole theme of praying this name. The subtitle of it is The Secret Place. The secret place, folks. So we're going to talk about the secret place today when we talk about praying this name, the lifter up of my head. And so the first point on your handout says to pray this name, the lifter up of my head, you must come to the end of yourself and all of the quick and temporary fixes you have used in the past to lift your mood. These things help you feel good for the moment, but do not truly lift your head. That place in your mind which possesses the situation, bringing it to peace. That place that directs your movement toward courage and strength and heals your mind. See, quick fixes, things that we do to distract us. You know, we do things to distract us from our pain. And we do things to distract us from situations that are difficult and that frustrate us. But when Christ comes to lift your head, folks, you have really been lifted. He actually changes what's going on inside your mind. He changes and he brings his peace. Remember, we did that whole segment on the Prince of Peace. He brings a true peace to the situation of your life. Those temporary fixes, they distract your mind for a moment, but then it comes flooding back. But Christ thoroughly and completely lifts your head. He provides his shadow of comfort, love, and protection so that you can raise your face in victory. You can raise your face in victory. Folks, I'm telling you, because the enemy, he's going to be coming at you in all kind of ways, telling you about your past, telling you about all those things. And I've said this before. I said, you know, when people come at you, because sometimes he'll work through people. He'll talk through people to try to get you to lower your head again. And I say to me, show me the scars. Show me the scars on your hands and your feet where you died for me. You didn't do all any of this for me. So show me the scars. And if you can't show me the scars, then let me go on to victory with my Lord. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm going on to victory with my Lord. In the secret place, as you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you can truly face anything. You know, when I was studying this yesterday, I got this vision of a child standing next to their daddy, big old daddy. You ever seen a child, you know, they've done something and then they go and hide behind daddy and they're looking at the bully because daddy's got to deal with stuff and the child's hiding behind daddy. That's what we do. That's what we got to do with Jesus. Let Jesus just stand up there and just, I did it. But you're covered under his blood. He said, I got this. But it was my fault. I know it was your fault. But I got this. See, that's it. All he asks of us is that we come clean when we come before him. Just come and let's talk about it. Don't make any excuses about it. Own it. Deal with it. But my blood will cover it. That's what you have to know. You don't have to lie about it. You can walk in truth. Yes, I did it. Please forgive me. Yes, I missed it. You know, you don't have to get, because he's a God of truth. He's not going to cover your lie. Okay, so let's get that straight. He's not going to cover your lie. He's not going to cover your pretense. He's not going to cover you perpetrating, as they say. But he will cover truth. When the truth comes out, you know, he covers that. You told the truth, and now I'm going to take care of you. It took courage to do that. So now I'm going to take care of you, and now I can lift your head. The next point, we talk about Job. Job cried. Wow, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. And what I dreaded has happened to me. Have you been there? The thing that I feared the most happened. What do you do when the worst has happened? You pray this name, the lifter up of my head. And Christ will lift your grief, your shame, your discouragement, so that you can go forward in his strength. Not your strength, his strength. You cannot bear certain things, beloved. You can't bear it. You know, saying that's another thing we have to face. You can't bear certain things. I'm talking to our clerics in the room. Those leaders, you powerful people that think you can take it all. Everybody has a breaking point. And if you don't know Christ as a lifter of your head, you're going to try and bear it. You're going to try and bear it. And that you're the people that's going to do the crazy stuff when you break. Okay? When you just like, okay, there's no one I can turn to but me, and I'm breaking. So, you know, so I'm telling you, you leaders, he's a lifter of your head. Last week we talked about the caregivers, the people that take care of everybody else, the mamas. Oh, I got to talk to the mamas, and I got to talk to the daddies, too. Taking care of everybody. You know, and who takes care of you? Jesus, the lifter of your head. He will take care of you. See, that's why you got to know where the secret place is. We got to talk about the secret place so you'll know what your secret weapon is so you can keep going like you need to keep going. I was asking my daughter this week about this song that came out. I don't know who sings it, but it's called Supergirl. And the chorus goes, I'm Supergirl, and I'm here to save the world. But I want to know who's going to save me. I was like, oh, how powerful is that? That's a good question, Supergirl, because I was thinking the same thing. I want to know who's going to save me. I'm saying, Jesus is going to save you, Supergirl. Jesus will save you. So Jesus will save you. But you know, we gotta be real with him. We've gotta be true with him. So you people with the strong temperaments, you can bring your grief, and you can bring your shame, and you can bring your mistakes. You can bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you're the ones that you feel used all the time because people just want to be around you because what you can do for them and how you can help them. But what happens when you make a mistake, man? They want to just toss you in the trash. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't. He's like, you're my child, and I'll take care of you. So Job was saying, the thing I greatly fear has come upon me. That which I have dreaded has happened to me. You cannot bear certain things, beloved. If you, your soul, and your spirit are to survive, you must pray to and rest in the lifter up of your head. We use all these kind of terms to shore us up in our time of difficulty. Chin up. Cowboy up. We use that a lot in Colorado. Cowboy up. Grin and bear it. All these terms that we use, and we may use these terms in front of others, but when we are alone, we collapse in a heap, unable to bear the load of the problem. This is the place where only the lifter up of your head can help you. So even though I know you have to be strong in front of people, but know that the lifter up of your head is there to help you. He'll be there. He won't reject you. He won't cast you out. Remember what we said? We said this, the bruised reed, he will not break. A smoldering wick, he won't put out. He'll fight, he'll blow life into you. He'll lift you up again. So there's always help. And the liar will tell you that there is no help for you. The liar will tell you you should just end it all. Your liar said will tell you you just give it up. But don't you believe it. I find that those are the best times for us. Strong people, this is the best time for you. Remember we talked about how the apostle had to come to that place. In my weakness, I'm strong. Remember he prayed 3 times that God would remove this infirmity. I got stuff to do for Jesus. But Jesus basically told him, my grace is sufficient. Basically, He knew. Some of us, you know, as hard as it is for me to swallow sometimes we need the thorn. Because the thorn keeps us in check. The thorn keeps us from wearing ourselves out. The thorn will put you to sleep when you need to go to sleep. And you're not up till midnight on the laptop trying to get ahead for tomorrow. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because I've learned to depend on Christ for tomorrow. Lord, you're going to take care of tomorrow because I'm going to bed. I've learned to say that. I got all this stuff to do tomorrow. I got the meeting tomorrow. But Lord, you're going to take care of tomorrow. And boy, watch him show up. He wanted that. He said, finally you're inviting me to the meeting to take care of what concerns you. So as we pray, as we think about, you know, we're talking about living. Today we're talking about praying it. These are some of the things you've got to call up to Christ. You've got to pray these things. Next point is a question from the book. Have you recently encountered a spirit of depression that makes you feel as if you're walking in spiritual quicksand? I think one prophet talked about the heavens being like brass. I can't even get through. I feel like I'm not even getting through to God. I'm praying and nothing's changing. The more you struggle, the deeper you sink. And then exhausted and empty, you call on Christ with the last breath of your strength, you pray. You finally pray with a surrendered heart. And he comes. He comes quickly and he comes completely to lift your head. Folks, I am convinced God takes us there on purpose. He allows it on purpose. So you can pray with a surrendered heart. Because sometimes we pray with our agenda. We got our agenda in one hand and the Bible in the other. Lord, I want you to do this, and then I want you to do this, and then I want you to do this, and then I got that thing next week. I want you to take care of that. surrendered heart. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, just take the situation. Lord, everything's not done, but Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I trust you as I go into what you would have me to do. So when your heart is fully surrendered, when you're completely just exhausted and torn down, at these times your prayers are never more truthful and never more clear. You get clarity. I'm telling you, when you're exhausted, when you don't have anything else to fight with, when you're sick on your bed, or when you're on your back sick and you can't get up, oh, clarity comes, folks. Suddenly, there's a clarity that comes with that. And that's what Paul was talking about. He was getting clarity on this thing. That's why the apostle proclaimed that he gloried in tribulation. See, he found the secret place. See, when you find the secret place, you can glory in tribulation. Because I didn't understand that scripture before. I did not understand it. I'm like, why are you glorying in tribulation? Here we go again. Another trial coming. But I've learned what he meant. Because when the trial came and I had no strength within myself, God took me to a different place, a different level. It was like he shielded me. Thou, O Lord, remember our key scripture? Our shield about me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. We talked about that, putting your own story in that scripture. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, we're out of money. Lord, I don't know how to do. Lord, I don't know. But thou, O Lord, our shield about me. You're the glory and the lifter up of my head. So you can't pray that unless you're there. And so I tell you, God takes you there on purpose. So when you get there, be rejoice. Talk to him and tell him, Lord, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. But thou, O Lord, our shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. And see, Paul understood that. That was the secret place. So he proclaimed in scripture, he wrote it down for us, that he gloried in tribulation because he knew God was going to take him to a higher level in glory. And I'm telling you, when you get to those higher levels, nothing phases you. Isn't that a great place to be? You know? You know, you're not so reactionary, just reacting to everything. But instead, peace of God that passes all understanding. It keeps my mind and it keeps my heart through Christ Jesus. So you begin to know what these scriptures mean, what they really mean. See, the apostle, he was understanding this. So he said, I glory in tribulation. He learned a secret. He learned one of the secrets of the secret place. This is a place where the guilty heart is purged, where God teaches his children from his own mouth, not through others. I'm telling you, because when you're in that secret place, it's you and God teaches you from his own mouth. He whispers things in your heart that you know are from God. I don't know if you've been there, but he has told me things that nobody knew. You know, and sometimes he'll confirm it with a song that came on the radio just at the right time, or a scripture that came up right at the right time, and he'll confirm it. This is me speaking from my own mouth to your heart. It is a place where you lay down your flowery words and your false self-righteousness and your false righteousness sometimes. And it's a true prayer. A prayer about who you are and about where you are. Now you're ready to be real with God. Now these flowery words. Oh God, my Father, we cometh before thee, oh. You be like, Jesus! Help me now! You get on a first name basis. You desperate, honey. And God says, I need you desperate so you can be real. Because you got all these false walls up, you know, talking to me. And I want to get to the root of your situation. And I have to wait sometimes. God has to wait until we're ready to deal with it. So let's look at the handout, the Psalm 51 handout. If you don't have one, there's one on the counter. Are you good over there, Cindy? Okay. And this was a psalm. This is one of my favorite psalms because this was a psalm that David wrote when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. You know the story. He committed adultery, impregnated another man's wife, and then had the man killed. I mean, whoa. I mean, sin on top of sin on top of sin. You know. So, and this is his prayer that I thought was so beautiful. And this is the NIV, and it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sins is always before me. And I want you to really get verse 4. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. See, when you come to a place, see, he needed to come to that place to know that God saw him. You know, sometimes we do things in secret because we're not really believing that God is watching things. But when you come to a place when you can say this, against you and you only have I sinned, and I've done this in your sight, then you're changing, see. Then you're going to change because you're aware now. You believe that God is watching at all times. So that was a really important step in David's maturity in Christ, or maturity in his development in God, is that he understood that I've done evil in your sight. You saw what I did. See, some of us don't believe that. We think if we get behind closed doors, if we go to another state, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. We got that kind of mentality, but I'm telling you, when you come to this point, he says, against you and you only have I sinned and I've done evil in your sight. You saw it. Then you're changing. Verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Bonnie Chavez brought out a point a few Wednesdays ago about hyssop. My mom loves hyssop. She uses it all the time. But she brought out a really important point about hyssop that I didn't know about. They used hyssop back in this day for the worst diseases, for the worst things, the deadly diseases. So when David uses the term hyssop, cleanse me with hyssop, he saw the depth of his sin, that his sin was deep. This is something that is life-threatening. So Lord, spiritually speaking, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Boy, I thought that was so powerful. Again, you got to get it, folks, because God needs for you to get it so you can go up higher. He wants to lift your head, but you got to get the issue at hand. You got to deal with you. He wants to deal with you. Verse 8, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. See, again, he's understanding that if I'm going to have joy again, if I'm going to have gladness again, then it has to come from you. None of these quick fixes are helping me. None of these things I have, all my riches and all my stuff, and Lord, but if I'm going to have joy and gladness, you've got to give it to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? People will try to cheer you up and do all these things, and you'll try to do all these things, but joy comes from Jesus. I mean, you've got to get it from him. And he's willing to give it. But he's trying to deal with the issue at hand so you don't find yourself back there again. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. And I love that. I love verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, and the New Living Translation says, a loyal spirit within me. See, I got to be loyal to God because I've been disloyal. See, when you're sinning, you're disloyal to him. You're not being loyal to him. So that's what that means. I want to be loyal to you, Lord God. I don't want to deny you during a time of temptation. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, I love David. He loved God. He loved God. Do whatever you do, but whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way. See, that's the testimony piece that we talked about. See, there's a testimony piece to all of this. So whatever what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it into good. He'll turn it into a testimony because he says, then I'm going to teach. I'm going to teach after that. Transgressors your way. So if anybody wants to say to you, how dare you be up in front of people teaching the word of God after what you've done and what you've been through. I said, but I'm more qualified than anybody because you don't know what I've been, because I've been there. I can tell you the details of the situation and how God brought me out of it. I know what that feels like. And so David is saying here, then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Again, another scripture that dealt with the guilt. See, only God can lift guilt. Only God can lift guilt. Folks, don't you know it's true? Especially if somebody's died because of what you did. Because of somebody, if somebody has suffered because of what you did, only God can lift that up. Verse 15, open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. Open my lips. We talked about that last week too. You know, the enemy wants you to stop singing. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to stop praising. He wants you to stop doing all this stuff when your head is lifted down. But David is praying this prayer when we pray, Lord, open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth to declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. Hadabosana. He wants a complete heart. I'm just... Verse 17, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. God doesn't want your stuff. He wants your heart. And he knows your heart. He said, you don't want the bulls. You don't want the burnt offering. You don't want me, all my sacrifices. You want my heart. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build the walls of Jerusalem. And I make that personal. Zion, the city of God, that's you. Build that city of God in your life. To build the walls of Jerusalem, to build the walls of your life again. You know, have the walls of your life come tumbling down. I've had my walls come tumbling down, folks. And it took him to rebuild Zion. To rebuild, because only he can rebuild it, see. Nobody else can rebuild it. Nothing else could rebuild it. But it says, may it please you to prosper Zion, to build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered to your altar. See, you can bring the offering, but after you get this right, you got to get that heart right. Then you can bring your offering and your sacrifices. And I encourage you, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't wait. The enemy wants you to wait. don't do it now. Don't do it now. After all, everybody's looking. After all, you know, it just happened. After all, no, don't try. He's a liar. Do it now. Don't let that thing fester and grow into something horrible. A grudge. A mindset. The more you take, the longer you take, the more he has time to build. Remember we just got out of the foundation study. On the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And sometimes we look like we're building on the foundation, but when you turn the table, you see you're building beside the foundation. You're not on the foundation. You're just going through the motions. You're coming to church and saying, I'm blessed. And you got stuff you got to deal with that God wants you to deal with because he wants that clean heart. Renew, Lord, a right and loyal spirit within me. The old preacher said, nothing between my soul and my Savior. You got to get that. I don't care what you think. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. We're going to get this right. And anytime there's a situation, I have found anytime when if you're on the outs with somebody, have an argument with somebody, it's never all one person. I find that anytime I have a disagreement with God, he always deals with me too. See what they did, and they did this, and they... He always comes back and, okay, let's talk about you first. First. They started it. They started it. But he wants to deal with me first. And I thank him for that because he's a good God. He always has something to say to me about those things. So as we move on to our next point, it says what the enemy means for evil in our lives, Christ turns it into an effectual and fervent prayer that works to lift our heads. Isn't that awesome? What the enemy means for evil, Christ takes it and turns it into an effectual and fervent prayer in our lives. Because when you're down in that deep pit, oh my goodness, and you lift your head, oh my goodness, your prayers are never more clear. They're never more poignant. They're never more desperate. And it becomes that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman that avails much. Sometimes you have to come to the place of complete exhaustion before you can find the secret place in Christ. The place where your enemies cannot find you. Where your grief cannot consume you. The place where you find the deep healing of the Savior and your confidence is restored. This is the awesome gift of our Lord that gives us on the other side of tragedy. He gives us the key to the secret place. See, on the other side of this thing. So whatever you're going through, on the other side of that thing, you're going to have the key to the secret place. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I got the key to the secret place. Because once you get the key to the secret place, nothing can bother you anymore. Amen. When those fiery arrows start coming at you, man, you just get on, let me go into the secret place. Because thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. See, you got to see the other side of this thing and how you lift your heads up. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I told you before, you show me somebody that hasn't been through anything, and I'll show you somebody that's immature. You show me somebody that's been through the valley and been through the fire. And came out of it smiling. Came out of it. I was talking about my friend Gailey. And when she tells me some of her stories, I'm looking at her like, what? How are you sitting here smiling? And praising Jesus after all of that? She had the key to the secret place. When you find your secret place in Christ, you will never be the same. Your enemies will never defeat you again. And you will never be swallowed up by the pain and tragedies of this world. Not that they won't happen. It's just that they won't swallow you up. They won't consume you. Because now I can go to the secret place. And in the secret place, he keeps my mind. In the secret place, he keeps my heart through Christ Jesus. The secret place is a place of perpetual confidence and restoration, perpetual, on and on and on. He doesn't run out. Perpetual confidence, perpetual restoration. He'll take care of it, where you will rise higher and closer to God. As the scripture has said from the prophet Isaiah, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Hallelujah. Because you have the key to the secret place. Hallelujah. The next point, it says, beloved reader, don't give Satan even an inch today in allowing condemnation to limit your effectiveness in prayer. So I said last week, you know, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. Therefore, let your voice rise like a fountain. Boldly approach the throne of grace where you will find help in the time of need. Pray through the pain, the doubt, and the failures. The love of a father is with you and embraces you. And the scripture says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, where we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. From Hebrews 4. You have to believe that. You have to believe that. Because I'm telling you, folks, when you go through, the enemy is bending closer to you, right in your ear. Right in your ear. But thou, O Lord, art shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. Even if the reason for your sorrow is your fault. Hallelujah. You can come to him and be bold, with bold faith to find help in your time of need. And I will add, especially when the reason for your sorrow is your fault, come to him quickly and repent. I guarantee you that he will meet you as you run to him, just like the father of the prodigal son. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. That's the story of us, Lord. That's the story of us, guys. While we're still a long way off, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet still messed up, while we were yet just halfway saved, he ran out to meet us, brought us into the house, prepared a banquet for us, fed us, sheltered us. That's the way of our Father. Don't believe the liar. He'll tell you God doesn't love you. He's through with you. I mean, after all, this is the 10th time. That's a lie. He will always come out to meet you again and again and again. Folks, this is not about a feeling. This is about faith. You understand? This is about faith. Your heart's not going to feel it. Your emotions are not going to be there with you at first. But the will rises up and believes God and walks toward the Lord. The next point says, Christ longs to lift your head. It is what he died for. We do not even know how much of our behavior is based on lies from the enemy. How much of our bad feelings that leave our heads hung down are based on lies. Lies that lead us to live in misery and bitterness. Lies that lead us to suicide as we find no hope for our unconsolable grief. Beloved, and that's what God calls you, His beloved, do not allow the liar to fill your mind with thoughts of rejection about the Savior, but rather come boldly to the throne of your gracious Father. There you will receive His mercy, and you will find grace to help you when you need it most. Hallelujah. 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 See, that's another one for the war room, folks. You got to put on a card and stamp that one. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Don't believe your bad feelings. I just remember all the times I just spent with bad feelings. Just bad feelings about this and bad feelings about that. Oh, I messed up. Bad feeling. Oh, she doesn't like me. Bad feeling. Oh, this happened. Bad feeling. 9 times out of 10, it turned out to be, it wasn't even the case. Just listening to the lies. Come boldly. Even when things are going on, just come boldly. Lord, this is the situation. Lord, this is what I'm feeling. God will come. He'll encourage your heart. I'm amazed at all the ways He encourages our hearts. Rita was talking about He encouraged her heart walking in the mall. Playing You Are My Sunshine, and she knew that song was just for her. I'm telling you, He'll encourage you in so many ways. You'll just pick up a piece of paper that's sitting on a table randomly, and He got something on there for you. Because you're His child. And He's constantly wanting you to know, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. No, I didn't stop loving you because you messed up. No, I didn't stop. I still love you. I love you. Well, this is happening, Lord. This is happening, but I love you. I got you. Don't stop praying to me. Don't stop praising. I remember praising God through tears just running down my eyes because I didn't get something I wanted so badly. I wanted it. I wanted it so badly, and it didn't happen. And tears is running down my eyes, and I'm trying to. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm going to praise you because you told me I should, but I'm. Hallelujah. You know.
Been there.
Yeah, been there. You been there, Cheryl?
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus. That's all right. Praise Him. I think that is the sweetest praise to God. When He knows, He's looking right at your heart and He knows it's broken. But with your lips, as an act of your will, you say, hallelujah. I will praise you. I will glorify your name. I will lift up your name, and I know that I can trust you. I know you'll be there for us tomorrow. Beautiful, sweet praise. The next point, certain sins that are left unrepentant and unministered to because of the lie of rejection. Because as the word spoken by the great apostle declare, this is a faith thing and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Wow, I know. He murdered, I was about to say that. This apostle was a murderer of the children of God, and yet he found grace at the throne of God. Christ lifted His head one day on a road to Damascus. He was full of sin, He was full of rage, and yet Christ lifted His head. I know you're angry, the angry one, mad. Christ can lift your head too. He'll lift your head. He might have to knock you off your horse. and blind you for a few days. But he's ready to lift your head. He did not have to do that for Saul. He didn't have to do that for him. He did not have to reach out to him like that. He could have just let him go on his merry way and just let him die in his sin. But, you know, rejoice that God had to knock you off your horse. Rejoice. You lost your job. Rejoice. Something happened. Rejoice. I said, even the sickness and the thorn, rejoice. Because God's got you. There's not a point where he doesn't have you. Because, you know, as I've said over and over again, folks, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Pay attention. Lord, why am I going through this? Finally, you ask. This is what I'm trying to teach you. I've learned to pay attention. I don't think anything, I believe to this, nothing in my life is random anymore. I thought it was random. I've learned nothing's random. Nothing's random. He's got every, remember he says all your days are written in a book? He's got every detail. She's going to walk out on the deck at 12:48. And she's going to walk down the stairs, 12:49. He's got it. I mean, down to the, you all don't believe. But when you think about that and you pay attention to what he's showing you, pay attention to the conversations coming your way. Pay attention to what's going on, because he's always teaching. Why did that happen to me, Lord? Pay attention. The first thing out of your mouth, okay, Lord, what are you teaching me? What do I need to hear? Okay. Uh-huh, like the Secret Service people. Okay, gotcha. Andrea, the Lord loves you, and he told me to bring you this cup of coffee. Pay attention. And I'll tell you, it's such a joyful life when you do that. It's so joyful. I've gotten so much more joy because I'm paying attention now. All this stuff I was missing. He was doing it, but I was missing it. It was just, because I had my own agenda, and I had to get to my meat team. But when I started to pay attention, Lord, why is this going on? Why is this happening? Then he started to show me. And folks, I'm telling you, it's never just about you. I told you, it's not just about you. The fields are white, ready to harvest. Pray for laborers. You're a laborer in the field. And he's got somebody set up right there. People need encouragement. Sometimes he'll tell you, you know, help that person that you would probably just walk by. I mean, be led of the Lord. Do it this time. Go ahead and take them out to dinner this time. Pay attention. Don't get into the argument. Keep your mouth shut. Oh, God, I wish I would have listened so many times to that one. That's the hardest part, keeping my mouth shut. But you know what I love about Jesus? Because even when I open my mouth, he'll come around and he'll bless it anyway. He'll come around when I repent. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, I should have shut up. Yeah, but okay, let's go on. Let's see what we need to do. Let's go to the contingency plan. And he'll turn around for my good and for the good of others, you know. But if you pay attention, folks, you'll see God working in your life like you wouldn't believe. You'll see him working so much in your life, and you will have such an overwhelming joy. We got a segment. We're coming, and we're coming to the power of God. I can't wait. We're going to talk about some stuff. Oh, my goodness. Can we talk about the power of God? Let's read today's prayer that's in the book. I want you to read this. It's a prayer. It's such a beautiful prayer in the book. And it says, I am moved today, Lord, in thinking how completely you have provided for the restoration of everything that has fallen in man. My head is often downcast, Lord, because of factors that flow from that fall. My head falls because I'm ashamed of my sin, or my cowardice, or my foolishness. My head falls because people assail me, or criticize, or don't understand me. My head falls because I lose confidence, or hope, or faith that things will work out. But today, hope rises. I'm reminded that you not only love, save, and forgive, and redeem, but you lean over to take me in your arms. You stretch forth your hands to take my crestfallen spirit. Lord, you lift up my head, like a father assuring a heartbroken son, like a mother comforting a bruised and frightened child. You lift up my head, and I hear you speaking to me from your word. I am your glory and the lifter up of your head. And my heart says, amen, Lord. And thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's so many reasons why our head is down and lifted down, but I tell you, yeah, it might go down for a second, but folks, I'm telling you, pray immediately. And he's there to lift your head. Our final scripture is on your handout, and it's from Isaiah 61. And it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. Any comments today? Read them.
Beautiful scripture. I call this scripture, Karen, the divine exchange.
Amen. The divine exchange.
Yeah. He gives to us beauty for our ashes. He gives us oil of joy for our mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Joyce Meyer says this is a trophy of God's grace.
Amen.
So we are in a trial. We are a display. Mm-hmm. We are a display. And as long as we're, you know, with the Lord and him just lifting up our head and being our glory, to think he left his glory to come and be our glory.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. He's just given it all.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. The divine exchange. So, you know, that's what that scripture, Isaiah 61:3, is called, the divine exchange.
I was just going to share my experience when I've been in the dark place and go to the Lord in the closet, in the prayer closet, and pray and focus on the Lord and then just give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that that's the end of the situation, the next day maybe I'll come in contact with a person, and words will come out of my mouth, and I'm going, where did that come from? You know, it's like, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit will just give you the right thing to say at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't have to worry about what to say or how to act.
Mm-hmm.
When you've given it to the Lord, he's going to prepare you for whatever you encounter.
Yes.
And it's awesome. When that happens, it's
wow. Yes. I mean, you get to a point where you are just afraid to go do anything unless you have prayed about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, a meeting, oh, no, I got to pray before I go into this meeting. Because I want him to be with me. Anyone else?
I find it difficult when Satan can come and attack me and do anything he wants to me. I am strong in the Lord. But what gets me is when he attacks my kids, my nephew, my niece, just in different issues. And I don't know why I falter. I lose my faith for moments. I fall to the ground. I'm blubbering like you said. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, why? Attack me. Don't attack them. And schools and our children, it's so difficult out there. And I'm telling you, then your lift your head to Jesus, you get that joy again, you try to figure it out, I call Dr. Karen, you know, I mean, and I didn't know this was your family here, your
mom.
Yeah,
my mom.
Bless you, she is such a blessing to me. I just want to tell you, and she's funny, and she's told us some wild stories, and I am just so impressed with your mother, and so I just want to say I just love her. But the truth is, I mean, God just speaks through you. And when I come here, I mean, I'm like, yes, that happened to me this week. So I've been there on the ground, but it's like, it's always over family members or people I'm associated with. So I have to deal with praying harder for that.
Yes, and you know, I don't know what you mean, and you got to pray for them.
Yes.
You got to trust God with it. I know exactly what you mean and what you're talking about, but you got to trust God. And I've seen God work as I've stepped back and just prayed over the situation and prayed over my children. Yes. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to say anything. And that's so hard for me not to say anything.
Yeah.
But it is, you know.
Or to the people hurting them.
Or the people. But, you know, you pray and watch God infiltrate that situation, you know, because you allow him. You invited him in. You know, he'll let you box on your own if you want to. You know, I was telling somebody this week. I was telling somebody this week when you learn how to fight. You know, when you do the girl fight. You ever seen the girl fight? Girls fight like, you know, how we fight. You know, but when you see a professional fighter, you know, I mean, they got one hand up protecting their face and another hand that hit that right, and they know how to fight and just where to hit. And that's where God wants to get you to.
Right.
We're fighting like this, doing everything.
Yes.
You know, instead of, you know, boxing with some, you know.
Boxing is what we do.
Yeah.
We want to know how to
be strategic. And that means.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
And you got to remember, the weapons of your warfare are not fleshly.
Yes, that's true.
But they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. He's talking about, I want to pull a wall down in a school. But I need you to use the weapons I've given you. Because the carnal weapons won't do it. You know, and again, it takes us a while to believe that. As I keep going back to leaving Babylon, folks. You got to get your mindset changed because we're all into, oh, you need to go and tell them something. And after all, you have your rights and stuff. And after all, you know, yes, I know the law and the IDEA law and all this stuff, laws. You know, when you have kids with disabilities and stuff like, but I'm telling you, go into prayer.
Yes.
Pull down those strongholds and watch God. Watch God do a work. Okay, I'm going to get you. Irene, one of you. Our time is going. Go ahead, Irene.
Earlier about how God speaks to us. This scripture in Isaiah 54 says, "The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught." And I said all that to say this. You were talking about Saul getting thrown off his horse.
Uh-huh.
And one of my darkest moments when my daughter had passed away, for 30 days, I wanted to ask the Lord, is my daughter with you? Mm-hmm. But I was afraid to, because my human way of thinking thought, if I ask him, he's going to think I'm blaming him for her death. And I didn't want to do that. So I didn't ask him, but he knows what's in my heart and what's in my mind. Well, at one point, my daughter said to me, Mama, I'm not even sure that I believe that there is a God. I thought that was blasphemy. So I thought, well, my daughter can't be with the Lord because she blasphemed him. Well, for 30 days, I agonized in my own silly mind and my fleshy way of thinking. On that 30th day, that night, when I went to bed, I was reading my devotional, and just at the time that I had gotten the news that my daughter had passed away, and Terry had given me this book, and the scripture was from 1 Timothy 1:13, and it was Paul, who was one Saul, saying, now listen to the words God speaks, because I thought my daughter was a blasphemer. He said, although I was a blasphemer and an insolent man,
and a persecutor. You had mercy on me because of my ignorance and unbelief. But he used the word blasphemy because I thought my daughter had blasphemed. So I said, Lord, so what are you saying to me? And I said, are you saying that my daughter is with you? He said, yes. And but instead of just being happy that yes, I argued with him. But how she walked away from you? She didn't have a relationship with you. He said, not that you knew of. And
wow.
I said, oh. I said, well, she didn't pray. He said, no, she didn't pray like you did. And she didn't read my word like you did, like you do. He said, but she was herself with me. She knew that I loved her for who she was.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you wouldn't have liked the way she talked to me. And I went, oh, she cursed at you. And he said, yes. And I said, and you allowed that? And he said, yes. And I said, but why? Your word says you not to talk like that. And he said, these were the words he said to me, because she was herself. She was genuine with me. And she knew I loved her no matter what. Even though she spoke that way, he said, and she was just herself with me. And I said, oh, my God,
wow.
I put you in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started bawling. I said, you really are a merciful and loving God. You know, his ways are way beyond ours, like he says in Isaiah 55:8. And I've been in, you know, ever since then. I'm just like, God, I won't put you in a box any longer. And I've been, this past week, I had been going through something, and I've been asking the Lord, like, is this a test, Lord? Why am I going through this? Are you testing me? If so, then help me pass this test. Because on my own, I won't do it.
Boy, I just want to comment just real quickly. You know, I'm reminded again of the prodigal son. While he was afar off, the father ran out to him. And that's what God does. He runs out to meet us. He doesn't wait till we even get to the house. He just runs out to meet us because we're on our way. You know, we may be stumbling and fumbling and maybe cursing along the way, but he runs out to meet us.
Well, and when we're in that secret place, that deep secret, dark secret place where we're hurting, God is there. God is in the darkness.
Yes.
He's always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Amen.
But we have to open our ears and learn to listen to his, what he's saying to us.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I was actually trying to get your attention for her. But I am so happy to be here this morning. Thank God for the great teaching, great class that we are listening to this morning. I thank God for his grace and his mercy.
Yes.
So many times, I am still trying to comprehend God's love for me. Many times, we don't comprehend the love of God for us. So I have been meditating and studying in about the love of God, about his grace, his mercy. Many times we feel like we can help God do what he, you know, can do all by himself. He really doesn't need our help. You know, he can really do it all by himself. But many times we're trying to help him, and we feel like our little 2 cents worth will help. But you know, Jesus died on the cross. His blood does it all. He does not need our help. Okay? So I appreciate the love of God. I appreciate his grace and his mercy.
Amen.
The words coming from our sister here concerning her daughter. God understands us so well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the things that many times we think that God's holding against us, like Karen was saying, God does not, you know, his grace, his mercy. He knows that we are flesh and we're going to do fleshy stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
But he's not going to cast us in hell for that. You know, he still loves us and he's there to lift us up, as she was teaching. He wants us in that secret place with him where we will be able to accept all the great things that he has offered to us and has freely given to us already. So thank God for the love of God.
Amen.
And thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for my beautiful little daughter. She just makes me so proud, so happy. to see the sin that she has taken for God. And the, how she has just surrendered all. And I'm telling you, if anybody can tell you something about what she's talking about this morning, she is talking about stuff that she has really gone through and lived. I'm her mother, and I know the stuff she's been through. I know it. And my God, sometimes I say, God. But you know, in it all, I knew that God was making her and breaking her from something. And God is still breaking her and making her. And when she stands and says to you this morning, she has been through it. She can tell you something. So listen to her, and I'm sure you are.
Amen. Thank God for you.
Thank God for you, Karen.
Amen.
God bless you.
She's been through some stuff too. But Barbara has. So anybody else before we pray? So we're going to just go into prayer.
Karen, what I thought of the whole last day was the one that said, believe this.
Believe this.
You know, we talk.
Yes.
We glorify God.
We sing.
About it. We pray. We did. But then... Believe it.
Live it.
Try your best to just be like Jesus.
Walk
in it. Yes. And yet we make it so hard.
Yes.
Simple people, he says. We're simple. Yes. Simple things. Yes. And I just love it because he just lets us know. Just believe it.
Yes.
We make it.
Yes, we do. I tell you, thank you. Lord, we're just going to prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord God. Father, we know as we live in this world where so many things falter, so many things fall apart, so many things last for just a moment, Lord God. But Lord, your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is eternal, Lord God. So we just thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you because you will lift our head. Lord, we thank you because you are the shield about us, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would give us the keys to the secret place, Lord God. Father, we understand that it may mean going through valleys, Lord God, and going up hills, Lord God. But Lord, we want the key to the secret place, Lord God. The place, Lord God, where you meet us, where you restore us, Lord God. The place where you wrap us in your love, Lord God. Oh, Lord, the place where we come out strengthened again and again and again. Oh, Lord, help us. Help your people, not just the group that's in this room, but all over this church and all over the world, Lord God. As we hear about all the things going on in the world, Lord, I pray you give the people the key to the secret place, Lord God. The place where they can pray and find restoration, Lord God. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, and we expect you. In Jesus' name, we pray. The lifter up of our head. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you for this again. Thank you. Wow, that's so pretty.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, really?
You're looking on your little crying.
No.
Little tissue,
yeah. No, it's a tissue.
Yeah, no,
I
was very tired. I talked to him yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And he's been talking about his little life. And I was going for a rough time. And, you know, but anyway, that's okay.
We're just going
to
pray that
you just talk to him and talk to him about the Lord, and they think they know it all and stuff like that. And
sometimes, you know, when people like you just got to love them. Just love on them.
Yeah.
Men deal with that so much.
Depression.
Yeah.
I just love you. I love you.
I'm glad you're back.
And I'm sick and I was sick and I was like, oh, no, no, no.
You know, and
but I don't want to get anybody else sick.
Yeah. And let me turn this up here. Andrea actually is putting, it's up on the podcast on my website. You can, oh, let me turn this off. Okay, praise God. We're going to open in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for another Sunday morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your many blessings, Lord God. We know many people did not see today, Lord God, but we thank you that it was your grace and your favor to us that blessed us to see this day, Lord. Father, I pray that you would keep us, Lord, by your power. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord God, as we learn of your word. Again, we pray that this is not a word that just rolls off our back, but something that we take in and we digest. And we make it a part of who we are, Lord God. Oh, Father, we are yours. We commit to you, Lord, right now. Lord, and our heart is to stand for you, Lord God. So help us, Lord God, as we understand and learn your word, Lord God. We just praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We're going to continue our lesson and lift up our hands. As I said, there's some handouts, an extra handout for today that's there. Also like to... welcome some guests of mine from Atlanta. My mom is here from Atlanta. We were talking about her last week. Here's the lady I was talking about. And her friend Barbara. Barbara works with them in their nonprofit organization, Family Connections. So we are glad Barbara could make it to Colorado this year. So as we review, we're continuing our lesson, The Lifter Up of My Head. And I tell you, I don't know about you guys, but this lesson is just blessing me so much. It is really encouraging my heart so much because... as we know, we're surrounded by the hordes of hell, and at any time, he's always trying to pull us down and put us down and make us feel bad about things, but I am so grateful that God, in his word, he encourages us. Thank you, Rita. We have extra copies of the prayer sheet, so if you need the prayer sheets, they're over there on the table, guys, both the one for Pueblo County in particular, and then the seven mountains of the earth to be praying. So, again, we just appreciate the encouragement. Last week we talked about living this name. And, boy, that's the hard part, isn't it? Living this name. We can talk about it. We can learn about it. But when it comes to living this name, and we used David as an example and some of the things that he went through and the different things that you see in people's lives, you know, in living this name. I told my mom I was talking about her. Because just when we talked about that scripture in Ezekiel that talked about how we are watered from the underneath, Ezekiel 31:34 talks about a water that flows from underneath. And sometimes when God is lifting your head and you are rising out of a bad situation, people don't even know how you're doing it. They think you should have lost your mind, you should have done this, you should have done that. But instead, you are serving and praising God, and they don't know how you do it. It's because, as the scripture says in Ezekiel, he waters us from underneath, and he lifts our head. And we talked about when God lifts your head is really lifted. When God lifts your head, it's not a quick fix or anything like that. So today we're going to talk about the segment on praying this name. And I printed up that extra handout from Psalm 51 because I think it really encapsulates this whole theme of praying this name. The subtitle of it is The Secret Place. The Secret Place, folks. So we're going to talk about the secret place today when we talk about praying this name, the lifter up of my head. And so the first point on your handout says, to pray this name, the lifter up of my head, you must come to the end of yourself and all of the quick and temporary fixes you have used in the past to lift your moods. These things help you feel good for the moment, but do not truly lift your head. That place in your mind which possesses the situation, bringing it to peace, that place that directs your movement toward courage and strength and heals your mind. See, quick fixes, things that we do to distract us, you know, we do things to distract us from our pain. And we do things to distract us from situations that are difficult and that frustrate us. But when Christ comes to lift your head, folks, you have really been lifted. He actually changes what's going on inside your mind. He changes and he brings his peace. Remember, we did that whole segment on the Prince of Peace. He brings a true peace to the situation of your life. Those temporary fixes, they distract your mind for a moment, but then it comes flooding back. But Christ thoroughly and completely lifts your head. He provides his shadow of comfort, love, and protection so that you can raise your faith in victory. You can raise your faith in victory. Folks, I'm telling you, because the enemy, he's going to be coming at you in all kind of ways, telling you about your past, telling you about all those things. And I've said this before. I said, you know, when people come at you, because sometimes he'll work through people. He'll talk through people to try to get you to lower your head again. And I say to me, show me the scars. Show me the scars on your hands and your feet where you died for me. You didn't do all any of this for me. So show me the scars. And if you can't show me the scars, then let me go on to victory with my Lord. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm going on to victory with my Lord. In the secret place, as you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you can truly face anything. You know, when I was studying this yesterday, I got this vision of a child standing next to their daddy, big old daddy. You ever seen a child, you know, they've done something and then they go and hide behind daddy and they're looking at the bully because daddy's got to deal with stuff and the child's hiding behind daddy. That's what we do. That's what we got to do with Jesus. Let Jesus just stand up there and, I did it. But you're covered under his blood. He said, I got this, but it was my fault. I know it was your fault, but I got this. See, that's it. All he asks of us is that we come clean when we come before him. Just come and let's talk about it. Don't make any excuses about it. Own it, deal with it, but my blood will cover it. That's what you have to know. You don't have to lie about it. You can walk in truth. Yes, I did it. Please forgive me. Yes, I missed it. You know, you don't have to get, because he's a God of truth. He's not going to cover your lie. Okay, so let's get that straight. He's not going to cover your lie. He's not going to cover your pretense. He's not going to cover you perpetrating, as they say. But he will cover truth. When the truth comes out, you know, he covers that. You told the truth, and now I'm going to take care of you. It took courage to do that. So now I'm going to take care of you, and now I can lift your head. The next point, we talk about Job. Job cried. Wow, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Have you been there? The thing that I feared the most happened. What do you do when the worst has happened? You pray this name, the lifter up of my head, and Christ will lift your grief, your shame, your discouragement, so that you can go forward in his strength. Not your strength, his strength. You cannot bear certain things, beloved. You can't bear it. You know, saying that's another thing we have to face. You can't bear certain things. Especially as I'm talking to our cholerics in the room. Those leaders, you powerful people that think you can take it all. Everybody has a breaking point. And if you don't know Christ as a lifter of your head, you're going to try and bear it. You're going to try and bear it. And that you're the people that's going to do the crazy stuff when you break. Okay, when you just like, okay, there's no one I can turn to but me, and I'm breaking. So, you know, so I'm telling you, you leaders, he's the lifter of your head. Last week we talked about the caregivers, the people that take care of everybody else, the mamas. Oh, I got to talk to the mamas, and I got to talk to the daddies, too, taking care of everybody. You know, and who takes care of you? Jesus, the lifter of your head, he will take care of you. See, that's why you got to know where the secret place is. We got to talk about the secret place so you'll know what your secret weapon is so you can keep going like you need to keep going. I was asking my daughter this week about this song that came out. I don't know who sings it, but it's called Supergirl. And the chorus goes, I'm Supergirl, and I'm here to save the world. But I want to know who's going to save me. I was like, oh, how powerful is that? That's a good question, Supergirl, because I was thinking the same thing. I want to know who's going to save me. Yeah. I'm saying Jesus is going to save you, Supergirl. Jesus will save you. So Jesus will save you. But, you know, we gotta be real with him. We've got to be true with him. So you people with the strong temperaments, you can bring your grief, and you can bring your shame, and you can bring your mistakes. You can bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you're the ones that you feel used all the time because people just want to be around you because what you can do for them and how you can help them. But what happens when you make a mistake, man? They want to just toss you in the trash. But Jesus doesn't. Jesus doesn't. He's like, you're my child, and I'll take care of you. So Job was saying, the thing I greatly fear has come upon me. That which I have dreaded has happened to me. You cannot bear certain things, beloved, if you, your soul, and your spirit are to survive. You must pray to and rest in the lifter up of your head. We use all these kind of terms to shore us up in our time of difficulty. Chin up. Cowboy up. We use that a lot in Colorado. Cowboy up. Grin and bear it. All these terms that we use. And we may use these terms in front of others, but when we are alone, we collapse in a heap, unable to bear the load of the problem. This is the place where only the lifter up of your head can help you. So even though I know you have to be strong in front of people, but know that the lifter up of your head is there to help you. He'll be there. He won't reject you. He won't cast you out. Remember what we said? We said this, the bruised reed, he will not break. A smoldering wick, he won't put out. He'll fight. He'll blow life into you. He'll lift you up again. So there's always help. And the liar will tell you that there is no help for you. The liar will tell you you should just end it all. Your liar said will tell you just give it up. But don't you believe it. I find that those are the best times for us. Strong people, this is the best time for you. Remember we talked about how the apostle had to come to that place. In my weakness, I'm strong. Remember, he prayed 3 times that God would remove this infirmity. I got stuff to do for Jesus. But Jesus basically told him, my grace is sufficient. Basically, he knew. Some of us, you know, as hard as it is for me to swallow sometimes we need the thorn. Because the thorn keeps us in check. The thorn keeps us from wearing ourselves out. The thorn will put you to sleep when you need to go to sleep. And you're not up till midnight on the laptop trying to get ahead for tomorrow. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because I've learned to depend on Christ for tomorrow. Lord, you're going to take care of tomorrow because I'm going to bed. I've learned to say that. I got all this stuff to do tomorrow. I got the meeting tomorrow, but Lord, you're going to have to take care of tomorrow. And boy, watch him show up. He wanted that. He said, finally you're inviting me to the meeting to take care of what concerns you. So as we pray, as we think about, you know, we're talking about living it. Today we're talking about praying it. These are some of the things you've got to call up to Christ. You've got to pray these things. Next point is a question from the book. Have you recently encountered a spirit of depression that makes you feel as if you're walking in spiritual quicksand? I think one prophet talked about the heavens being like brass. I can't even get through. I feel like I'm not even getting through to God. I'm praying and praying and nothing's changing. The more you struggle, the deeper you sink. And then exhausted and empty, you call on Christ with the last breath of your strength, you pray. You finally pray with a surrendered heart. And he comes. He comes quickly and he comes completely to lift your head. Folks, I am convinced God takes us there on purpose. He allows it on purpose. So you can pray with a surrendered heart. Because sometimes we pray with our agenda. We got our agenda in one hand and the Bible in the other. Lord, I want you to do this, and then I want you to do this, and then I want you to do this, and then I got that thing next week. I want you to take care of that. surrendered heart. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, just take the situation. Lord, everything's not done, but Lord, I thank you and I praise you and I trust you as I go into what you would have me to do. So when your heart is fully surrendered, when you're completely just exhausted and torn down, at these times your prayers are never more truthful and never more clear. You get clarity. I'm telling you, when you're exhausted, when you don't have anything else to fight with, when you're sick on your bed, or when you're on your back sick and you can't get up, oh, clarity comes, folks. Suddenly, there's a clarity that comes with that. And that's what Paul was talking about. He was getting clarity on this thing. That's why the apostle proclaimed that he gloried in tribulation. See, he found the secret place. See, when you find the secret place, you can glory in tribulation. Because I didn't understand that scripture before. I did not understand it. I'm like, why are you glorying in tribulation? Here we go again, another trial coming. But I've learned what he meant. Because when the trial came and I had no strength within myself, God took me to a different place, a different level. It was like he shielded me. Thou, O Lord, remember our key scripture? Our shield about me. The glory and the lifter up of my head. We talked about that, putting your own story in that scripture. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, we're out of money. Lord, I don't know how to do. Lord, I don't know. But thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're the glory and the lifter up of my head. So you can't pray that unless you're there. And so I tell you, God takes you there on purpose. So when you get there, be rejoice. Talk to him and tell him, Lord, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. But thou, O Lord, our shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. And see, Paul understood that. That was the secret place. So he proclaimed in Scripture, he wrote it down for us, that he gloried in tribulation because he knew God was going to take him to a higher level in glory. And I'm telling you, when you get to those higher levels, nothing phases you. Isn't that a great place to be, you know? You know, you're not so reactionary, just reacting to everything. But instead, peace of God that passes all understanding. It keeps my mind and it keeps my heart through Christ Jesus. So you begin to know what these scriptures mean, what they really mean. See, the apostle, he was understanding this, so he said, I glory in tribulation. He learned one of the secrets of the secret place. This is a place where the guilty heart is purged, where God teaches his children from his own mouth, not through others. I'm telling you, because when you're in that secret place, it's you and God teaches you from his own mouth. He whispers things in your heart that you know are from God. I don't know if you've been there, but he has told me things that nobody knew. You know, and sometimes he'll confirm it with a song that came on the radio just at the right time, or a scripture that came up right at the right time. And he'll confirm it. This is me speaking from my own mouth to your heart. It is a place where you lay down your flowery words and your false self-righteousness and your false righteousness sometimes. And it's a true prayer. A prayer about who you are and about where you are. Now you're ready to be real with God. Now these flowery words. Oh God, my Father, we cometh before thee, O Holy. You'd be like, Jesus, help me now. You get on a first name basis. Jesus! You're desperate, honey. And God says, I need you desperate so you can be real. Because you got all these false walls up, you know, talking to me. And I want to get to the root of your situation. And I have to wait sometimes. God has to wait until we're ready to deal with it. So let's look at the handout, the Psalm 51 handout. If you don't have one, there's one on the counter. Are you good over there, Cindy? Okay. And this was a psalm, this is one of my favorite psalms, because this was a psalm that David wrote when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. You know the story. He committed adultery, impregnated another man's wife, and then had the man killed. I mean, whoa. I mean, sin on top of sin on top of sin. You know. So, and this is his prayer that I thought was so beautiful. And this is the NIV, and it says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sins is always before me. And I want you to really get verse 4. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. See, when you come to a place, see, he needed to come to that place to know that God saw him. You know, you do, sometimes we do things in secret because we're not really believing that God is watching things. But when you come to a place when you can say this, against you and you only have I sinned, and I've done this in your sight, then you're changing, see. Then you're going to change because you're aware now. You believe that God is watching at all times. So that was a really important step in David's maturity in Christ, or maturity in his development in God, is that he understood that I've done evil in your sight. You saw what I did. See, some of us don't believe that. We think if we get behind closed doors, if we go to another state, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. We got that kind of mentality, but I'm telling you, when you come to this point, he says, against you and you only have I sinned and I've done evil in your sight. You saw it. Then you're changing. Verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Bonnie Chavez brought out a point a few Wednesdays ago about hyssop. My mom loves hyssop. She uses it all the time. But she brought out a really important point about hyssop that I didn't know about. They used hyssop back in this day for the worst diseases, for the worst things, the deadly diseases. So when David uses the term hyssop, cleanse me with hyssop, he saw the depth of his sin. That his sin was deep. This is something that is life-threatening. So Lord, spiritually speaking, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Boy, I thought that was so powerful. Again, you got to get it, folks. Because God needs for you to get it so you can go up higher. So he wants to lift your head, but you got to get the issue at hand. You got to deal with you. He wants to deal with you. Verse 8, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. See, again, he's understanding that if I'm going to have joy again, if I'm going to have gladness again, then it has to come from you. None of these quick fixes are helping me. None of these things I have, all my riches and all my stuff, and Lord, but if I'm going to have joy and gladness, you've got to give it to me. Do you know what I'm talking about? People will try to cheer you up and do all these things, and you'll try to do all these things, but joy comes from Jesus. I mean, you've got to get it from him. And he's willing to give it. But he's trying to deal with the issue at hand so you don't find yourself back there again. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. And I love verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, and the New Living Translation says, a loyal spirit within me. See, I got to be loyal to God because I've been disloyal. See, when you're sinning, you're disloyal to him. You're not being loyal to him. So that's what that means. I want to be loyal to you, Lord God. I don't want to deny you during a time of temptation. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, I love David. He loved God. He loved God. Do whatever you do, but whatever you do, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your way. See, that's the testimony piece that we talked about. See, there's a testimony piece to all of this. So whatever what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it into good. He'll turn it into a testimony because he says, then I'm going to teach. I'm going to teach after that. Transgressors your way. So if anybody wants to say to you, how dare you be up in front of people teaching the word of God after what you've done and what you've been through. I said, but I'm more qualified than anybody because you don't know what I've been, because I've been there. I can tell you the details of the situation and how God brought me out of it. I know what that feels like. And so David is saying here, then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You are God, my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Again, another scripture that dealt with the guilt. See, only God can lift guilt. Only God can lift guilt, folks. Don't you know it's true? Especially if somebody died because of what you did. If somebody has suffered because of what you did, only God can lift that up. Verse 15, open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. Open my lips. We talked about that last week, too. You know, the enemy wants you to stop singing. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to stop praising. He wants you to stop doing all this stuff when your head is lifted down. But David is praying this prayer. When we pray, Lord, open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth to declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. Hadabosana. He wants a complete heart. Verse 17, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, you, God, will not despise. God doesn't want your stuff. He wants your heart. And he knows your heart. He said, you don't want the bulls. You don't want the burnt offering. You don't want me, all my sacrifices. You want my heart. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build the walls of Jerusalem. And I make that personal. Zion, the city of God. That's you. Build that city of God in your life. To build the walls of Jerusalem, to build the walls of your life again. You know, have the walls of your life come tumbling down. I've had my walls come tumbling down, folks. And it took him to rebuild Zion. To rebuild because only he can rebuild it, see. Nobody else could rebuild it. Nothing else could rebuild it. But it says, may it please you to prosper Zion, to build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered to your altar. See, you can bring the offering, but after you get this right, you got to get that heart right. Then you can bring your offering and your sacrifices. And I encourage you, don't hesitate. Don't wait. The enemy wants you to wait. don't do it now, don't do it now. After all, everybody's looking. After all, you know, it just happened. After all, no, don't try. He's a liar. Do it now. Don't let that thing fester and grow into something horrible. A grudge. A mindset. The more you take, the longer you take, the more he has time to build. Remember we just got out of the foundation study. On the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And sometimes we look like we're building on the foundation, but when you turn the table, you see you're building beside the foundation. You're not on the foundation. You're just going through the motions. You're coming to church and saying, I'm blessed. And you got stuff you got to deal with that God wants you to deal with because he wants that clean heart. Renew, Lord, a right and loyal spirit within me. The old preacher said, nothing between my soul and my Savior. You got to get that. I don't care what you think. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. We're going to get this right. And any time there's a situation, I have found any time when if you're on the outs with somebody, have an argument with somebody, it's never all one person. I find that anytime I have a disagreement with God, he always deals with me too. See what they did, and they did this, and they... He always comes back and, okay, let's talk about you first. First. They started it. They started it. But he wants to deal with me first. And I thank him for that because he's a good God. He always has something to say to me about those things. So as we move on to our next point, it says what the enemy means for evil in our lives, Christ turns it into an effectual and fervent prayer that works to lift our heads. Isn't that awesome? What the enemy means for evil, Christ takes it and turns it into an effectual and fervent prayer in our lives. Because when you're down in that deep pit, oh my goodness, and you lift your head, oh my goodness, your prayers are never more clear. They're never more poignant. They're never more desperate. And it becomes that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman that avails much. Sometimes you have to come to the place of complete exhaustion before you can find the secret place in Christ. The place where your enemies cannot find you. Where your grief cannot consume you. The place where you find the deep healing of the Savior and your confidence is restored. This is the awesome gift of our Lord that gives us on the other side of tragedy. He gives us the key to the secret place. See, on the other side of this thing. So whatever you're going through, on the other side of that thing, you're going to have the key to the secret place. Hallelujah. I'm so glad I got the key to the secret place. Because once you get the key to the secret place, nothing can bother you anymore. When those fiery arrows start coming at you, man, you just get on, let me go into the secret place. Because thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, the glory and the lifter up of my head. See, you got to see the other side of this thing and how you lift your heads up. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I told you before, you show me somebody that hasn't been through anything, and I'll show you somebody that's immature. You show me somebody that's been through the valley and been through the fire and came out of it smiling. Came out of it. I was talking about my friend Gailey. And when she tells me some of her stories, I'm looking at her like, what? How are you standing here smiling and praising Jesus after all of that? She had the key to the secret place. When you find your secret place in Christ, you will never be the same. Your enemies will never defeat you again. And you will never be swallowed up by the pain and tragedies of this world. Not that they won't happen, it's just that they won't swallow you up. They won't consume you. Because now I can go to the secret place. And in the secret place, he keeps my mind. In the secret place, he keeps my heart through Christ Jesus. The secret place is a place of perpetual confidence and restoration. Perpetual. On and on and on. He doesn't run out. Perpetual confidence. Perpetual restoration. He'll take care of it. Where you will rise higher and closer to God. As the scripture has said from the prophet Isaiah, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles rising toward the sun. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. Hallelujah. Because you have the key to the secret place. Hallelujah. The next point, it says, beloved reader, don't give Satan even an inch today in allowing condemnation to limit your effectiveness in prayer. So I said last week, you know, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on their knees. Therefore, let your voice rise like a fountain. Boldly approach the throne of grace where you will find help in the time of need. Pray through the pain, the doubt, and the failures. The love of the Father is with you and embraces you. And the scripture says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, where we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. From Hebrews 4. You have to believe that. You have to believe that. Because I'm telling you, folks, when you go through, the enemy is bending closer to you, right in your ear. Right in your ear. But thou, O Lord, our shield about me. You're my glory and the lifter up of my head. Even if the reason for your sorrow is your fault. Hallelujah. You can come to him and be bold, with bold faith to find help in your time of need. And I will add, especially when the reason for your sorrow is your fault. Come to him quickly and repent. I guarantee you that he will meet you as you run to him, just like the father of the prodigal son. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. That's the story of us, Lord. That's the story of us, guys. While we're still a long way off, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet still messed up, while we were yet just halfway saved, he ran out to meet us, brought us into the house, prepared a banquet for us, fed us, sheltered us. That's the way of our Father. Don't believe the liar. He'll tell you the Lord, God doesn't love you. He's through with you. I mean, after all, this is the 10th time. That's a lie. He will always come out to meet you again and again and again. Folks, this is not about a feeling. This is about faith. You understand? This is about faith. Your heart's not going to feel it. Your emotions are not going to be there with you at first. But the will rises up and believes God. And walks toward the Lord. The next point says, Christ longs to lift your head. It is what he died for. We do not even know how much of our behavior is based on lies from the enemy. How much of our bad feelings that leave our heads hung down are based on lies. Lies that lead us to live in misery and bitterness. Lies that lead us to suicide as we find no hope for our unconsolable grief. Beloved, and that's what God calls you, his beloved, do not allow the liar to fill your mind with thoughts of rejection about the Savior, but rather come boldly to the throne of your gracious Father. There you will receive his mercy, and you will find grace to help you when you need it most. Hallelujah. 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 See, that's another one for the war room, folks. You got to put on a card and stamp that one. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Don't believe these, your bad feelings. I just remember all the times I just spent with bad feelings. Just bad feelings about this and bad feelings about that. Oh, I messed up. Bad feeling. Oh, she doesn't like me. Bad feeling. Oh, this happened. Bad feeling. 9 times out of 10, it turned out to be, it wasn't even the case. Just listening to the lies. Come boldly. Even when things are going on, just come boldly. Lord, this is the situation. Lord, this is what I'm feeling. God will come. He'll encourage your heart. I'm amazed at all the ways he encourages our hearts. Rita was talking about he encouraged her heart walking in the mall. Playing You Are My Sunshine. And she knew that song was just for her. I'm telling you, he'll encourage you in so many ways. You can just pick up a piece of paper that's sitting on a table randomly and he's got something on there for you. Because you're his child. And he's constantly wanting you to know, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you with an everlasting love. No, I didn't stop loving you because you messed up. No, I didn't stop. I still love you. I love you. Well, this is happening, Lord. This is happening, but I love you. I got you. Don't stop praying to me. Don't stop praising. I remember praising God through tears, just running down my eyes because I didn't get something I wanted so badly. I wanted it. I wanted it so badly, and it didn't happen. And tears is running down my eyes, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm going to praise you because you told me I should, but I'm, hallelujah, you know.
Been there.
Yeah, been there. You been there, Cheryl?
Yes.
Hallelujah, Jesus. That's all right. Praise him. I think that is the sweetest praise to God. When he knows, he's looking right at your heart and he knows it's broken. But with your lips, as an act of your will, you say, hallelujah. I will praise you. I will glorify your name, Lord. I will lift up your name and I know that I can trust you. I know you'll be there for us tomorrow. Beautiful, sweet praise. The next point, certain sins that are left unrepentant and unministered to because of the lie of rejection. Because as the word spoken by the great apostle declared, this is a faith thing and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Wow, I know. He murdered, this apostle was a murderer of the children of God, and yet he found grace at the throne of God. Christ lifted his head one day on a road to Damascus. He was full of sin, he was full of rage, and yet Christ lifted his head. I know you're angry, the angry one, mad. Christ can lift your head too. He'll lift your head. He might have to knock you off your horse. and blind you for a few days. But he's ready to lift your head. He did not have to do that for Saul. He didn't have to do that for him. He did not have to reach out to him like that. He could have just let him go on his merry way and just let him die in his sin. But, you know, rejoice that God had to knock you off your horse. Rejoice. You lost your job. Rejoice. Something happened. Rejoice. I said, even the sickness and the thorn, rejoice. Because God's got you. There's no not a point where he doesn't have you. Because, you know, as I've said over and over again, folks, pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on in your life. Pay attention. Lord, why am I going through this? Finally, you ask. This is what I'm trying to teach you. I've learned to pay attention. I don't think anything, I believe to this, nothing in my life is random anymore. I thought it was random. I've learned nothing's random. Nothing's random. He's got every, remember he says all your days are written in a book? He's got every detail. She's going to walk out on the deck at 12:48. And she's going to walk down the stairs, 12:49. He's got it. I mean, down to the, you all don't believe. But when you think about that and you pay attention to what he's showing you, pay attention to the conversations coming your way. Pay attention to what's going on because he's always teaching. Why did that happen to me, Lord? Pay attention. The first thing out of your mouth, okay, Lord, what are you teaching me? What do I need to hear? Okay. Uh-huh, like the Secret Service people. Uh-huh. Okay, gotcha. Andrea, the Lord loves you, and he told me to bring you this cup of coffee. Pay attention. And I'll tell you, it's such a joyful life when you do that. It's so joyful. I found I've gotten so much more joy because I'm paying attention now. All this stuff I was missing. He was doing it, but I was missing it. It was just... because I had my own agenda, and I had to get to my meat team. But when I started to pay attention, Lord, why is this going on? Why is this happening? Then you start to show me. And folks, I'm telling you, it's never just about you. I told you, it's not just about you. The fields are white, ready to harvest. Pray for laborers. You're a laborer in the field. And he's got somebody set up right there. People need encouragement. Sometimes he'll tell you, you know, help that person that you would probably just walk by. I mean, be led of the Lord. Do it this time. Go ahead and take them out to dinner this time. Pay attention. Don't get into the argument. Keep your mouth shut. Oh, God, I wish I was listening so many times to that one. That's the hardest part, keeping my mouth shut. But you know what I love about Jesus? Because even when I open my mouth, he'll come around and he'll bless it anyway. He'll come around when I repent. And I said, oh, Lord, you know, I should have shut up. Yeah, but okay, let's go on. Let's see what we need to do. Let's go to the contingency plan. And he'll turn around for my good and for the good of others, you know. But if you pay attention, folks, you'll see God working in your life like you wouldn't believe. You'll see him working so much in your life, and you will have such an overwhelming joy. We got a segment we're coming in. We're coming to the power of God. I can't wait. We're going to talk about some stuff. Oh, my goodness. Can we talk about the power of God? Let's read today's prayer that's in the book. I want you to read the prayer. It's a beautiful prayer in the book. And it says, I am moved today, Lord, in thinking how completely you have provided for the restoration of everything that has fallen in man. My head is often downcast, Lord, because of factors that flow from that fall. My head falls because I'm ashamed of my sin, or my cowardice, or my foolishness. My head falls because people assail me, or criticize, or don't understand me. My head falls because I lose confidence, or hope, or faith that things will work out. But today, hope rises. I'm reminded that you not only love, save, and forgive, and redeem, but you lean over to take me in your arms. You stretch forth your hands to take my crestfallen spirit. Lord, you lift up my head, like a father assuring a heartbroken son, like a mother comforting a bruised and frightened child. You lift up my head, and I hear you speaking to me from your word. I am your glory and the lifter up of your head. And my heart says, amen, Lord. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's so many reasons why our head is down and lifted down. But I tell you, yeah, it might go down for a second, but folks, I'm telling you, pray immediately. And he's there to lift your head. Our final scripture is on your handout, and it's from Isaiah 61. And it says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. Any comments today? Read them.
Beautiful scripture. I call this scripture, Karen, the divine exchange.
Amen. The divine exchange.
Yeah. He gives to us beauty for our ashes. He gives us oil of joy for our mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Joyce Meyer says this is a trophy of God's grace.
Amen.
So we are in a trial. We are a display. Mm-hmm. We are a display, and as long as we're, you know, with the Lord and him just lifting up our head and being our glory, to think he left his glory
yes.
to come and be our glory.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome. He's just given it all.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. The divine exchange. So, you know, that's what that scripture, Isaiah 61:3, is called, the divine exchange.
I was just going to share my experience when I've been in the dark place
yeah.
and go to the Lord in the closet, in the prayer closet,
mm-hmm.
and just pray and focus on the Lord and then just give it to him
mm-hmm.
and thinking that that's the end of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
The next day maybe I'll come in contact with a person and words will come out of my mouth and I'm going, where did that come from? You know, it's like, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit will just give you the right things to say at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't have to worry about what to say or how to act.
Mm-hmm.
When you've given it to the Lord, he's going to prepare you for whatever you encounter.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. When that happens, it's
Amen.
Like, wow.
Yes. I mean, you get to a point where you are just afraid to go do anything unless
yeah.
you have prayed about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm meeting. Oh, no, I got to pray before I go into this meeting.
Because
I want him to be with me. Anyone else?
I find it difficult when Satan can come and attack me and do anything he wants to me. I am strong in the Lord. But what gets me is when he attacks my kids,
wow.
my nephew, my niece, just different issues. And I don't know why I falter. I lose my faith for a moment. I fall to the ground. I'm blubbering like you said. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, why? Attack me. Don't attack them. And schools and our children, it's so difficult out there. And I'm telling you, then lift your head to Jesus, you get that joy again. You try to figure it out. I call Dr. Perry. You know, I mean, and I didn't know this was your family here, your
mom.
Yeah,
my mom.
Bless you. She is such a blessing to me. I just want to tell you, and she's funny, and she told her childhood story, and I am just so impressed with your mother. And so I just want to say I just love her. But the truth is, I mean, God just speaks through you. And when I come here, I mean, I'm like, yes, that happened to me this week. So I've been there on the ground, but it's like, it's always over family members or people I'm associated with. So I have to deal with praying harder for them.
Yes, and you know, I don't know what you mean, and you got to pray for them.
Yes.
You got to trust God with him. I know exactly what you mean and what you're talking about, but you got to trust God. And I've seen God work as I've stepped back and just prayed over the situation and prayed over my children. And I'm like, Lord, I'm not going to say anything. And that's so hard for me not to say anything. But it is, you know.
Or to the people hurting them.
Or the people. But, you know, you pray and watch God infiltrate that situation, you know, because you allow him. You invited him in. You know, he'll let you box on your own if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, I was telling somebody this week. When you learn how to fight. You know, when you do the girl fight. You ever seen the girl fight? Girls fight like. You know how we fight. You know, but when you see a professional fighter, you know, I mean, they got one hand up protecting their face and another hand that hit that right, and they know how to fight and just where to hit. And that's where God wants to get you to.
Right.
We're fighting like this, doing everything.
Yes.
You know, instead of, you know, boxing with some, you know.
Boxing is what we do.
Yeah. How to be strategic. And that means.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
And you got to remember, the weapons of your warfare are not fleshly.
Yes, that's true.
But they're mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. He's talking about, I want to pull a wall down in a school.
Yeah.
But I need you to use the weapons I've given you. Because the carnal weapons won't do it.
No.
You know, and again, it takes us a while to believe that. As I keep going back to leaving Babylon, folks. You got to get your mindset changed because we're all into, oh, you need to go and tell them something. And after all, you have your rights and the stuff. And after all, you know, yes, I know the law and the IDEA law and all this stuff, laws. You know, when you have kids with disabilities and stuff like, but I'm telling you, go into prayer.
Yes.
Pull down those strongholds and watch God. Watch God do a work. Okay, I'm going to get it. Irene. One of you. One of you. Go ahead, Irene.
You were saying earlier about how God speaks to us. This scripture in Isaiah 54 says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. And I said all that to say this. You were talking about Saul getting thrown off his horse.
Uh-huh.
And one of my darkest moments when my daughter had passed away, for 30 days, I wanted to ask the Lord, is my daughter with you? Mm-hmm. But I was afraid to because my human way of thinking thought, if I ask him, he's going to think I'm blaming him for her death. And I didn't want to do that. So I didn't ask him, but so he knows what's in my heart and what's in my mind. Well, at one point, my daughter said to me, Mama, I'm not even sure that I believe that there is a God. I thought that was blasphemy. So I thought, well, my daughter can't be with the Lord because she blasphemed him. Well, so 30 days I agonized in my own silly mind, in my fleshly way of thinking. On that 30th day, that night when I went to bed, I was reading my devotional, and just at the time that I had gotten the news that my daughter had passed away, and Terry had given me this book, and the scripture was from 1 Timothy 1:13, and it was Paul, who was once Saul, saying, now listen to the words God speaks, because I thought my daughter was a blasphemer. He said, although I was a blasphemer and an insolent man, and a persecutor, you had mercy on me because of my ignorance and unbelief. But he used the word blasphemy because I thought my daughter had blasphemed. So I said, Lord, so what are you saying to me? And I said, are you saying that my daughter is with you? He said, yes. And but instead of just being happy that yes, I argued with him. But how she walked away from you, she didn't have a relationship with you. He said, not that you knew of. And
wow.
I said, I said, well, she didn't even pray. He said, no, she didn't pray like you did. And she didn't read my word like you did, like you do. He said, but she was herself with me. She knew that I loved her for who she was.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you wouldn't have liked the way she talked to me. And I went, she cursed at you. And he said, yes. And I said, and you allowed that? And he said, yes. And I said, but why? Your word says you not to talk like that. And he said, these were the words he said to me, because she was herself. She was genuine with me. And she knew I loved her no matter what. Even though she spoke that way, he said, and she was just herself with me. And I said, oh my God, I put you in a box. And I just started bawling. I said, you really are a merciful and loving God. You know, his ways are way beyond ours, like he says in Isaiah 55:8. And I just I've been in, you know, ever since then, I'm just like, God, I won't put you in a box any longer. And I've been, this past week, I had been going through something, and I had been asking the Lord, like, is this a test, Lord? Why am I going through this? Are you testing me? If so, then help me pass this test, because on my own, I won't do it.
Boy, I just want to comment just real quickly. You know, I'm reminded again of the prodigal son. While he was afar off, the father ran out to him. And that's what God does. He runs out to meet us. He doesn't wait till we even get to the house. He just runs out to meet us because we're on our way. You know, we may be stumbling and fumbling and maybe cursing along the way, but he runs out to meet us.
Well, and when we're in that secret place, that deep secret, dark secret place where we're hurting, God is there. God is in the darkness.
Yes.
He's always there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Amen.
But we have to open our ears and learn to listen to his, what he's saying to us.
Amen.
I was actually trying to get your attention for her. But I am so happy to be here this morning. Thank God
for the
great teaching, great class that we are listening to this morning. I thank God for his grace and his mercy. So many times, I am still trying to comprehend God's love for me. Many times we don't comprehend the love of God for us. So I have been meditating and studying in about the love of God, about his grace, his mercy. Many times we feel like we can help God do what he can do all by himself. He really doesn't need our help. You know, he can really do it all by himself. But many times we're trying to help him, and we feel like our little 2 cents worth will help. But you know, Jesus died on the cross. His blood does it all. He does not need our help. Okay? So I appreciate the love of God. I appreciate his grace and his mercy.
Amen.
The words coming from our sister here concerning her daughter. God understands us so well. And you know the things that many times we think that God is holding against us, like Karen was saying, God does not. You know, his grace, his mercy. He knows that we are flesh and we're going to do fleshy stuff sometimes. But he's not going to cast us in hell for that. You know, he still loves us. And he's there to lift us up, as she was teaching. He wants us in that secret place with him where we will be able to accept all the great things that he has offered to us and has freely given to us already. So thank God for the love of God.
Amen.
And thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for my beautiful little daughter.
I love that. I love her.
She just makes me so proud, so happy to see the stand that she has taken for God. And the, how she has just surrendered all. And I'm telling you, if anybody can tell you something about what she's talking about this morning, she is talking about stuff that she has really gone through and lived. I'm her mother, and I know the stuff she's been through. I know it. I know it. And my God, sometimes I say, God. But you know, in it all, I knew that God was making her and breaking her from something. And God is still breaking her and making her. And when she stands and says to you this morning, she has been through it. She can tell you some stuff. So listen to her. And I'm sure you are.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for you.
Thank God for you, Karen.
Amen.
God bless you.
She's been through some stuff too. As far as. So anybody else before we? So we're going to just go into prayer. Believe this.
You know, we talk.
Yes.
Glorify God.
We sing.
We pray. But then.
We do. I tell you, thank you. Lord, we're just going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord God. Father, we know as we live in this world where so many things falter, so many things fall apart, so many things last for just a moment, Lord God. But Lord, your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is eternal, Lord God. So we just thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you because you will lift our head. Lord, we thank you because you are the shield about us, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would give us the keys to the secret place, Lord God. Father, we understand that it may mean going through valleys, Lord God, and going up hills, Lord God. But Lord, we want the key to the secret place, Lord God. The place, Lord God, where you meet us, where you restore us, Lord God. The place where you wrap us in your love, Lord God. Oh, Lord, the place where we come out strengthened again and again and again. Oh, Lord, help us. Help your people, not just the group that's in this room, but all over this church and all over the world, Lord God. As we hear about all the things going on in the world, Lord, I pray you give the people the key to the secret place, Lord God. The place where they can pray and find restoration, Lord God. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, and we expect you. In Jesus' name, we pray, the lifter up of our head. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you for this. Thank you.